In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the third Sunday of the blessed month of Beba, and the Church chooses for us the passage of the Pharisees who accused the Lord Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, who is the ruler of the demons. And in response to their accusation, the Lord Jesus says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." If we notice here, I think this passage is a very powerful illustration of how some people can misunderstand God's power and His kingdom. The Pharisees saw that the divine power of the Lord was a threat or an evil, and it came from Satan or the ruler of the demons. However, of course, we see that him having this authority over the demons is a sign of his power and his strength. Oftentimes, my beloved, the world will misunderstand and misinterpret strength that is found in the godly virtues and interpret them as being signs of weakness. There are certain virtues and commandments that we are given as a source of strength for our spiritual life and our nourishment, and the world says that these things are weaknesses. I'd like to reflect a little bit about some of these virtues or gifts that God has given us to be a source of strength that the world says, no, these are a sign of weakness in one's life. If we classify these virtues and gifts as weaknesses in our life, then this will hinder our spiritual growth and we will easily be deceived by the enemy. We'll speak about some of them. Number one is discipline and self-restraint. The world says somebody who shows discipline and self-restraint is somebody who seems to be weak. I'll give you an example. Look what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "But I tell you, do not resist I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." Imagine now doing this today. Somebody slaps you on the cheek and you turn the other cheek also. Which is the easier thing to do? Is it to slap them back or to restrain oneself from slapping them back? The easiest thing to do is to slap them back, just to react, right? But the harder thing to do is to show that restraint and discipline and say, no, I'm not going to return evil for evil. I'm not going to get into this game or this fight, right? This shows more strength. Again, society looks at this as being something that is weak. Look at what St. John Chrysostom says. He says, "Turning the other cheek is not cowardice, but the highest form of self-control, for by doing so, we overcome evil with good." We overcome evil with good. And if you think about this self-control, it's about controlling one's reaction to the environment around them. All the virtues have to do with this, right? How do I react to the environment that is around me, right? When the Lord chose to love those who crucified him, he's not reacting to his environment, but he's responding to it with love by his choice. This comes from self-control. So we see something like this as being something like a small example when somebody curses you and I don't curse them back. Is this something that's a sign of weakness? No, my beloved, it's a sign of strength, of inner strength through Christ. And through this strength is how not only do we change our life, but we also change the world as well. Abba Pieman said, "Self-control is the doorway to all virtue, for without it, no one can achieve a pure heart." It's the doorway to all virtue, and without it, no one can achieve a pure heart. You look at like what's facing us nowadays in media and all of this stuff, okay? We need to learn how to have this self-control in face of these different assaults through the media, right? Through social media, peer pressures, and different influences, you know, in society these days. And this is a virtue that we need to try to cultivate and nourish, because it's definitely something that is needed. But classifying it as being a weakness, we do ourselves a disservice and the community around us a disservice. Number two is humility. Humility is often characterized as a sign of weakness or passivity. The Lord says, "Blessed are the meek or the humble, for they shall inherit the earth." Meekness is looked at as being something that, okay, somebody who's meek is passive and shows a sign of weakness. But again, this is exact opposite of what the Lord, you know, taught. The one thing He asked us to learn from Him was what? That He was meek and humble of heart. "Learn from me, for I am meek and I'm humble of heart." This is what He taught us to learn from Him. Because we look and we see in the Lord Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the creator of the universe, coming down and washing the disciples' feet. Humbling Himself and dealing with those who are outcast, those who are sinners, and those who have no one to ask about them. We have the King being the servant, right? This is meekness. This is power. This is not a sign of weakness, but on the contrary. Again, St. John Chrysostom, he says, "Meekness is the mother of all virtues. For no one who is meek is troubled," and pay attention, "no one who is easily offended is meek." No one who is easily offended is meek. What do we find these days? If somebody just doesn't respond to my message in time, I'm offended. Nowadays, the younger generation is very fragile. It's very fragile. The smallest things make them heartbroken and they're shattered and all of this. It's very fragile. The meek are not easily offended. If you look at somebody like Moses, who took the people of Israel out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, and they got to Sinai, and you would believe the people, by that time there are roughly about 2 million of them, the people would be, you know, good and happy and everything is going well. Shortly after they left, they began to complain. And imagine, you know, if your wife or your husband or your children complain, sometimes it can drive you crazy. Imagine if 2 million people were complaining to you. It would drive anybody crazy, right? So imagine these 2 million people are now complaining to him about food and water and why'd you bring us out to die? Let's go back to Egypt. All of these things. But what does the Bible say about Moses? He says, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth." He wasn't easily broken, even despite all the complaints of the people. But on the contrary, when God became upset with the people because they worshiped the idol, Moses stood up and said, "God, if this is what you're going to do, take my name out of the book that you're writing." This is a truly humble person. It wasn't about himself. It wasn't about him. When they were complaining, he didn't take it like it was personal, right? It wasn't very fragile. And this is why he became such a wonderful and strong leader for the people of Israel and an example for us as well. Abba Moses, the St. Moses the Strong, he said, "A man who is truly meek is the most powerful of men." The one who is truly meek is the one who is the most powerful. The third virtue, or maybe gift, that God has given us and is misinterpreted as being weakness is youthfulness, being young in age. Sometimes some people look at those who are young in a way that's inferior. How can somebody who is young do X, Y, and Z? Why would we entrust this person to do this? My beloved, it's really not about age. It's not about age. If you remember the young Solomon when he took reign and became the king, and God asked him, "Okay, ask me one thing that you want." And maybe if we ask any of these, young youth, gave them the same opportunity and said, "Whatever you want," they would ask something very different, right? But he said, "God, give me wisdom that I might govern your people. Give me wisdom. Give me something that is from you. Not for myself, but that I can serve my brethren." And we look at somebody again, young David, when he was first introduced into the scene in the story of the Philistines and Goliath. And he found out that all Israel was trembling because of Goliath and the Philistines. And he comes and he hears this. And he says, "No, I will defeat him, but it's not by my strength." He says what? "The battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands." So as a young youth who was very skilled, didn't consider this battle as my own so I can get praise and glory and honor, but he considered the gift that God has given him as something that was to represent God and to fight God's battle, not his own. It wasn't for his ego and his pride and to make himself more popular and to get people to like him. No, no, not at all. He said the battle is the Lord's, and that's why we're going to win. It's not because I'm strong. It's not because I'm skilled. You know, he took a small stone and he, you know, cast it on Goliath's head. You know, and to take a stone and to throw it a distance to hit exactly at the temple, you know, this seems like there's a hand of God here, right? Because there was, because he believed that this was God's battle and not his own. These examples stand in contrast with like the image-driven pursuits of the young people today. It's all about self-promotion, competition, making myself better than the person next to me. This is why all of the social media apps, they're the most popular among the young ones, because the self-promotion and competition is high. Look what St. Paul tells his young disciple Timothy, who's a young bishop. He tells him what? Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word. So he's telling the young youth to be an example in word. And just an example to your peers? No, example to everyone. Be an example in word, example in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He tells the young one to do this. Sometimes we give our young ones, excuses and say, because he's young, she's this and she's that. And we don't put them put for them a higher standard to live by. We just excuse whatever they do because they're young or because they're inexperienced. This again, it shows in contrast of what the Bible is teaching us and what the church teaches us. Don't despise their youth and say because they're youth, they can't achieve higher things, nor should we disregard them because they're youth that they can't achieve higher things. St. John Chrysostom, he says again, it is not youth that is a hindrance, but the lack of wisdom. For many young people surpass their elders in godliness and virtue. There are many young ones who surpass even the elders in their godliness and virtue. And this is not just back then, this is even today. Even today. When you have a young, boy or a young girl who's very disciplined in their prayer rule, and then you have an older person who says, Abuna, all I say is Aben Elezi. I just say Our Father, and that's it. You see, the younger person is more disciplined, more than even somebody who's older. Abba Piman says, do not look down on the young ones, for they can carry the yoke of Christ even more strongly than the old. But then he asterisk, okay, they can carry it stronger than the old when their hearts are pure. So he's saying to the young, Your focus is to make your heart pure, and then this, you can use your strength in the correct way to carry the yoke of Christ. But we have to have our heart as pure. The fourth way, or the fourth virtue that perhaps is considered, or gift that is considered as weakness, is the thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. And this can be like any physical weakness or any physical ailment or disease or disability. Again, we look at this in society as being a weakness, a hindrance, an unfortunate circumstance, and so on. But look what St. Paul reflects about his own thorn in the flesh. He said that he asked God 3 times to heal him of his disease, because that way he would be able to serve more effectively. And the Lord responded to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. Therefore, what St. Paul says, therefore, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So now what was considered to be a weakness, this was now a source of boasting for St. Paul. He looked at his weakness as not that, you know, it's a hindrance no longer, but now it's a way that Christ might be glorified in me. And you'll find that there are certain individuals who have a certain ailment or disease or a struggle and a hardship, and they can use this hardship to catapult them to spiritual height. He can use this to touch the lives of many individuals. There was a man by the name of Nick Vujicic, you probably heard of him. He was born without limbs, without hands, and without feet. And you look at somebody like this, you would say, okay, his life would be miserable. Okay, he has no chance for a normal life or anything. But on the contrary, he took this and he used this, you know, disability to glorify God. He began to go around and he shares a message of hope with youth and different churches and so on. So when people look at him and say, okay, this guy, right, who has seemingly nothing, is filled with hope and dreams and nothing is like hindering him. He actually has a family and has 4 children. You look at something like this, you're like, how? Yes. Because he took the problem and put it in God's hands and with his blessing, it came out to be something that is good and he used for the glory of God. And we contrast this now to the petty thorns that we might describe in our life. The petty thorns of, I don't have a phone. I don't have internet access here. Somebody criticized me. They said something to me on a message or in a group text. Somebody cursed at me. Can you believe somebody unliked me? Can you believe somebody deleted me from or blocked me from social media? My beloved, these are petty. These are petty compared to something like this. It's very refreshing sometimes when we see somebody who has a true thorn and how they're strong in it and they glorify God in it. And we look at the petty thorns in our life and say, what am I talking about? What am I talking about? The thorn in the flesh can be used as a tool in God's hands for our growth and for the edification of those who are around us. Dependence on God can also be perceived as a weakness. Again, the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the poor in spirit here are those who acknowledge their need for God. And then you look at society and look and say, if you make yourself dependent on anybody else, you're weak. Even if it's God, you're weak. You're not able to stand for yourself. No, you should promote yourself. Stand for yourself. You're strong. You can do this. You can do X, Y, and Z. All these self-help books are all about this, promoting one's self. But in the Bible, it teaches us to depend on God. St. Paul says, when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. St. Augustine says, our whole strength lies in prayer and our weakness in trusting ourselves. Our strength lies in prayer and our weakness is when we trust in ourselves. If you remember the life of St. Peter, just we'll take a glimpse of just the last few days before the crucifixion and after. St. Peter on Covenant Thursday, the Lord began to tell them that he's going to be crucified. And St. Peter stands up and says, no, you're not going to go. And if you go, I'm going to go with you, even if I have to die with you. And he meant it with all of his heart. But the Lord said, before the rooster crows 3 times, you would deny that you even knew me. And then what happened? Exactly that's what happened. Denied him 3 times, the rooster crowed, and he remembered and he went and he wept bitterly. And he wept bitterly until after the resurrection. They went on this back to their fishing. The Lord appeared to them, you know, on the boat, and he met with St. Peter afterward and he told him what? Do you love me, Peter? And he said, yes, I love you. You know, Lord, I love you. He asked him a second time, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then he asked him a third time, do you love me? Then he paused to think it for a minute. And he said, before I said, you know, Lord, that I love you, and I was very confident in myself. And this was my first mistake. I was confident in myself and myself alone. Then his response the third time was, he says, Lord, you know all things. You know all things. He shifted now his confidence from himself to Christ. And then Christ said, okay, you're back to be an apostle. Go out and do amazing things. And on the day of Pentecost, one sermon converted 3,000. Because he understood that I depend not on myself, but on God. And he got it. St. Basil says, a heart that is poor in spirit, empty of self-sufficiency, is open to receive the riches of God's grace. A heart that is empty of oneself is ready to receive the riches of God's grace. Dependence on God is not a weakness, my beloved, but it's a strength that we must tap into if we want to grow in our spiritual life and impact the world again around us. Long suffering, patience, is perceived as being a weakness. You say, okay, how can you be forgive someone that stole from you or harmed you or insulted you? Why should you bear with them any longer? Why should you be long-suffering? Why should you forgive? And the book of Isaiah says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting on the Lord and being long-suffering and patient in the midst of suffering or hardship is a virtue, and one that is, again, is filled with strength. St. Gregory the theologian says, patience in affliction is greater than any external victory, for in patience we participate in the sufferings of Christ. Christ patiently endured all of the hardship during his life and especially during his passion. To come to a glorious end, to not save himself, he didn't need saving, but to save us, to give us something we could have never achieved on our own. But it only occurred through patient long-suffering and endurance. Abba Anthony says, the greater the trials, the more glorious the crown. The greater the trial, the more glorious the crown. Sometimes being long-suffering and patient, this will help us have this endurance and this long-suffering so that the crown will be greater later. Lastly, serving others can sometimes be perceived as a weakness and inferiority, especially if we really understand it in the way that it's really meant to be. When we say somebody's a servant or a Sunday school servant, maybe in our eyes we say this is kind of an honorary title or a role. But if you go to somebody outside and say, I'm a servant or a slave, they'll look at you like, what are you? No, no, we don't talk like that. You can be a Sunday school teacher, but you're not going to be a servant. You know, God forbid we use that word, right? You're going to put yourself under somebody else's rule or governance? No, no, this is America. We don't do this, right? But what does the Lord teach? But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Somebody who wants to be great will be your servant. Abba Isaac, the Syrian, he says, if you do not make yourself equal to the smallest of your brothers, you cannot be greater than them. And when he says greater than them, he doesn't mean like in a competitive way. He means greater than them, meaning you can't grow in your spiritual life at all. Right? You must consider yourself as the smallest of your brethren. So when I serve or I'm with the young people, I'm like the young people. Right? If I'm somebody with people who are simple, I'm like the smallest of them. Right? Also, Abba Piman, he says, if a man is meek, humble, and serves others, he has fulfilled all the commandments of God. If somebody's meek and humble and serves others, you fulfilled all the commandments, for sure. Because when we say, okay, the first commandment is love the Lord God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. Okay, when I understand who I really am, and He is God, and I am His creation, and I know where I stand, this is loving God, because I depend on Him and I love Him. And the other part of the commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. And that's exemplified by serving them, right? So, this is true. The one who serves other and is humble fulfills all the commandment of God. My beloved, the world looks at power, independence, and self-promotion, and this is what they try to feed us, as if these are signs of strength and power. But as Christians, we know that these are not signs of power. These are actually signs of weakness. And having discipline, humility, being patient, depending on God, long-suffering, serving one another, and taking the thorn and making it a useful tool in the hand of God. These are virtues. These are things that give us as Christians power. Christ overcame these accusations, of course, of the Pharisees and showed them that his true authority over evil through the power of his virtues. We also need to do the same, to look at these virtues and consider these are tools that God has given us, not for weakness, but for strength, for ourselves and for our families and our communities as well. To God be glorified forever and ever. Amen.